Thank you for tuning in to an Abundant Life Worship Center podcast. You're listening to a message from our series on joy. Take what you learn from this message, practice it, and walk in joy. So here we are, starting a brand new year. And I mentioned a little bit last week that in one of our evening prayer meetings at the Sunday evening, we just started to pray a bit, and I just briefly in the prayer kind of said, Lord, bless as we go into the new year. I wasn't really digging into prayer, but just saying that little bit, all of a sudden God gave me a verse, and I knew it was for our church for the new year. And the verse, we will look at it here, it talks about joy and God wanting to bring joy and rejoicing to his people. So I'm going to get into that, and we're actually beginning a series today on joy. And the Bible has a lot of things to say about joy. So here we go on our first series. One of the amazing things about having others want Jesus like you have is when they see you have joy. Because joy is not something that's easy to come by. Let's face it, life can be difficult, and it's no different in the world, and joy can be stolen. But as a Christian, we can have joy, and we should have joy. When you have joy coming out of your face and your body language is speaking joy, people want to be around you, and they want what you have. Think about it in your past, even maybe even before you were serving God, wherever you were, where there was a bunch of people, the person who was the most joyful is often the one that people kind of gathered around. There's a reason for that. People want to be joyful, okay? And you and I, God wants us to be the most joyful people. So I'm going to get into today's message, and let me just begin by giving you the verse that I really felt God gave to us as a church. And it speaks clearly of God wanting to lead us into great joy. So Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 to 13. And I'm reading from the NIV. It says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Verse 12, "You will go out in joy and be led forward in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever." So when I read this verse, I feel a sense in here of more than just a little bit of joy. If you're walking out and the hills and mountains are beginning to sing and their trees are clapping, you're talking about a lot of joy. And I want you to see something in this. And for you to really understand it, I've got to show you a picture of what's going on when this word comes. Because Isaiah was a prophet and he was giving a word right directly to Israel at that time, but also the word goes beyond and even to us. And at this time, Israel was in captivity. Israel had strayed far from God. They had decided they didn't want to do what he said, and they had been called back many times, but they strayed away, and they ended up in captivity. Babylon was where they were. They were in captivity. Their homeland, Israel, had been wiped out, many people killed. And when the people were taken captive, it said they just left a few people there to sort of look after it. But in essence, it was pretty much empty. So where there were fields, now there was nothing but thorns and thistles. Where there had been strong walls and homes, they were beaten and broken down. And those people who weren't the poor that were left behind, anybody who had any training or knowledge was taken to become a slave in Babylon. And now Isaiah gives this word to God's people, and he says the time is coming that you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. He's telling them, I'm about to turn this around. You're about to have victory once again. You're about to have joy that goes beyond what you can even imagine. And the hills are going to begin singing, trees are going to begin clapping their hands. You know, when I talk about joy, I'm just wondering if you can picture a time in your life where you had great joy. I want you to think about it for a minute. A time when you were so joyful, you were shaking, you were so excited. Or you were just like, you felt like laughing, you just couldn't hardly keep it in, you were so joyful. Think about that for a minute. Is anybody, you can think of a time, I'm not going to make you say it on the mic, anybody think of a time when you were that joyful? Yeah, there is a few that can think of it. Did you know that we live in a society that would rather talk and think about the negative, the problems, the issues, the person who did me wrong, the job that didn't work, and we get so filled with that, we can't think of the joyful things. It's not a good way to live. Because you know what? Stuff is going to happen, but we are called to be people that are thankful. What does God's word say? In everything, give thanks. Rejoice always. Giving thanks is the key. But we're not going into that today. But so here's God's people. They're getting this word now, and God is telling them, you're headed into an amazing time of great joy. But they'd been through a lot. They had been through basically seeing family and other people massacred, totally wiped out. And here's this word coming, and it's God giving them a word saying, I'm going to do this, and it's going to be an everlasting sign. In other words, God was going to do it, and it would be a sign that would not be forgotten. Guess what? It's never been forgotten because it's written down here, and here we are preaching it how many thousands of years later. When God does something, he does it good. His word never returns void. Did you notice how it started? His word's going to accomplish what he said. So let me say it today. God is going to bring great joy here. When I read this verse, and I knew this was for us then, I wanted to go a little bit deeper in it. Okay, well, what exactly are you saying, God? And the first thing that I see in here that really amazes me is the fact that God's creation rejoices. Hills rejoice, trees rejoice. I'm thinking, well, maybe this is just poetic. You know, poetic license. No. We're going to go into his word. You're going to see creation rejoices. Isaiah 35:1-2. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Here it's talking about a desert rejoicing. And you need to see the picture. The rejoicing comes because it was once dry and barren, but now it has water and it's blossoming, it's growing. And the desert rejoices. God's creation rejoices. 1 Chronicles 16:31-33. It says, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Tell all the nations the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything that is in it shout his praise. Wait a minute. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. I never really heard a fish shout before, but apparently everything in the water also praises God, rejoices before him. All of his creation praises him. Let the fields and the crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he's coming to judge the earth. Can you imagine? One of these times I'm going to say, Lord, let me hear the trees sing. I bet you they're good singers because they're part of his creation. Remember when Jesus was heading into Jerusalem and the Pharisees said, oh, tell your disciples and everybody to just be quiet. They're making a big racket praising you. What did he say? If they hold their peace, the rocks are going to cry out. Can I give you a little hint right now? Don't ever let a rock cry out in your place. Don't ever let a tree do your praising. Don't. Creation readily praises God. Psalms 96, verse 11 and 12. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. So it's very similar to the last one. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy. For joy, rejoice, praise, joy. Creation rejoices. Psalm 98, 7 and 8. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. What? Did you just hear that? Let the earth and every living thing join in to praise him. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy. Even rivers praise him. Even rivers are joyful. Luke 15, 7. I said all of his creation rejoices. Heaven rejoices, earth rejoices, trees, mountains, his creation rejoices, and also, of course, heaven and the angels rejoice. Luke 15, 7. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Heaven rejoices, angels rejoice. Okay. That was something that I thought, this is really amazing. So at any time, creation can be rejoicing. The world that God made can be rejoicing. But here's the thing. Do you want to know why creation rejoices? I looked through these verses and all the verses I could find about creation rejoicing. Do you want to know why creation rejoices? It's really kind of cool. Creation rejoices because of God's presence and what he does for people. Every time where you read about creation rejoicing, it's when God has done something for people. It's unbelievable, but I'll tell you why, because you need to know why. God's word has it all in there. Romans 8, 19 and 20. Romans 8, 19 and 20, listen what it says. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. The curse of sin with Adam and Eve. All creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And what was the present time? It was Christ Jesus coming and making redemption. Creation rejoices every time people are restored or redeemed, saved, set free, because creation knows God's setting his people free. We're also to be free. The curse is broken by what Christ did on the cross. Communion, which we took today, that broken body, that shed blood, breaks the curse off of you and I and off of creation. I thought it was amazing that creation rejoices when it sees God doing something amazing for his people. Creation and the hills were going to sing and the trees clapped their hands because God's people were coming out of captivity. Creation rejoices over the salvation of people. Let me give you that scripture. I quoted it briefly earlier. Luke 2, 10 to 14. I'm reading in the Passion Translation. Listen what it says. But the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news. The most joyful news the world has ever heard, and it is for everyone everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a feeding trough." We just came through the Christmas season. We talked about this baby. Here was an angel saying, this is what is about to happen. This is the Savior. And when he gives this message, what happens? In verse 13, all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing. They were singing and praising. There was joy in heaven about this declaration, about the salvation that would come to all mankind. And heaven is rejoicing. And they said, glory to God in the highest, peace, hope, and goodwill towards men. They were rejoicing for what God was doing for people. It's amazing. I read this and I think, Lord, you care so much for people. It's unbelievable how much he does for people. And his creation rejoices. Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And in verse 10, he says it again. And I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When a sinner is saved by grace, when somebody is restored, when someone who is addicted gets set free, creation rejoices. What? Creation rejoices. Did you know that you can go to certain areas? You can go to an area, and maybe this has happened to some of you, drive into a certain area, and you can feel that this heaviness and a feeling of the opposite of rejoicing, almost a gloom in the area. The creation in that area is not rejoicing. And guaranteed, you'll find that there are many people in that area in bondage. People who need to be set free. Creation rejoices every time someone's set free. I believe that God wants to see our church as an area of rejoicing where people come in, they feel that presence, and they know this is where God is doing. But beyond that, I believe God wants to change Slave Lake so that you can drive into Slave Lake and not feel a heaviness, but feel a joy and wonder, what is this? This place feels good. Creation rejoices over restoration of people, enemies removed from people, and abundant blessings for people. This is his word. Isaiah 35, 1 to 10. Now I read to you some of the verses where creation rejoices. I'm giving you some context. This is why creation rejoices. It says, the desert will blossom like a rose and rejoice. Every dry and barren place will burst forth with abundant blossoms, dancing and spinning with delight. Lebanon's lush splendor covers it. The magnificent beauty of Carmel and Sharon. My people will see the awesome glory of Yahweh, the beautiful grandeur of God. Strengthen those who are discouraged. Energize those who feel defeated. Say to the anxious and fearful, be strong and never afraid. He is breaking through to give you victory. He comes to avenge your enemies with divine retribution. He comes to save you. The blind eyes will open. Deaf ears will hear. The lame will leap. The playful deer and the tongue-tied will sing songs of triumph. Gushing water will spring up in the wilderness and streams will flow through the desert. The burning sand will become a refreshing oasis, the parched ground bubbling springs, and the dragon's lair a meadow with grass, reeds, and papyrus. There will be a highway of holiness called the Sacred Way. The impure will not be permitted on that road, but it will be accessible to God's people, and not even fools will lose their way. The lion will not be found there, nor wild beasts will travel on it. They will not be found there, but the redeemed will find a pathway on it. Yahweh's ransomed ones will return with glee to Zion. They will enter with a song of rejoicing and be crowned with everlasting joy. Ecstatic joy will overwhelm them. Weariness and grief will pass away. I read it all because every point of it is important and good. But the very ending, did you catch that? Rejoicing and joy will be on our heads. But it said everlasting joy. What Christ has done for us can give us everlasting joy no matter what our circumstance, no matter what is going on around us, no matter what we're going through. Everlasting joy can be ours. But I love this part because where joy is, weariness and heaviness disappear. Let me say that again. Where joy is, weariness and heaviness disappear. Think about it for a minute. Do you remember a time where you got with some people, maybe you're a little bit tired, but then somebody started being funny, the next thing you're laughing, you didn't feel so weary and heavy, did you? Now that's just an example, but this is a whole nother level. When God's joy comes in, weariness and heaviness disappears. All right, Isaiah 49 and 13 to 22. Says, sing for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth. The Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on them in their suffering. Yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Never. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she's born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you. This is God talking to you and I. He's talking to his people in Isaiah, but he's talking to you and I as well. He's a God that doesn't change. If he would say that to his people there who had turned against him and left, and he's saying, I'm going to bring you back and I'm saying these things over you, he's saying it over you and I right now. I would not forget you, never. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands. Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls in ruins. Soon your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away. Look around you and see, for all your children will come back to you as surely as I live, says the Lord. They will be like jewels or bridal ornaments for you to display. Even the most desolate parts of your abandoned land will soon be crowded with your people. Your enemies who enslaved you will be far away. The generations born in exile will return and say, we need more room. It's crowded here. Then you will think to yourself, who has given me all these descendants? For most of my children were killed, and the rest were carried away into exile. I was left here all alone. Where did all these people come from? Who bore these children? Who raised them for me? This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will give a signal to the godless nations. They will carry your little sons back to you in their arms, and they will bring your daughters on their shoulders. What a word this was for Israel at that time, and what a word it is for us. Israel at that time, they felt they were defeated, deserted, and God didn't care. And God said, I'm about to do something that will blow you away. And I'm going to bring more than you can imagine. What you've lost, I will bring far more. And they're going to come and say, it's too crowded here. You know, when I read that, I know God's speaking here at the church. Now, sometimes 11 o'clock is too crowded, but there's coming a day when it's going to be too crowded at every service. Why? Because God is sending a signal, not to the religious people, to people who, in our eyes, would be called godless. He said, I'm calling them and they're going to bring people in because he's that kind of God. He is a God who loves people that are hurting. He is a God who reaches out beyond what we can do. He is a God that cares. And he's going to bring them in. We started with Isaiah 55, 11 to 13. And I want to read it again, and then we're going to begin to wrap this up. It says, it is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. You will live in joy and peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Where once there was thorn, cypress trees will grow. Where nettles grew, myrtles will sprout up. These events will bring great honor to the Lord's name. They will be an everlasting sign of his power and love. The Lord is going to do things this year in 2020 that bring amazing joy to us and to his creation. And the things he do will bring him great honor and will be everlasting signs of his power and love. I want you to get ready and to expect God to do the impossible. God is going to bring things this year that bring you joy like you cannot imagine. Let me say it again. God is going to bring things that bring you joy like you cannot imagine. You know, as I preach this message, I can feel there's some who you feel like joy. I don't remember the last time I had joy. I've been through so much. You know what? God is not saying you're doing anything wrong. He hears you. He sees you, just like he saw his people. And he knew they were saying, like, joy? Are you for real? But God's saying, yeah, I'm for real. Because I'm going to do the impossible. And you're going to have great joy this year. Because God's not a liar. You are going to have great joy. Our church is going to experience great joy. But individually, you're going to experience great joy. And you are going to see creation rejoice around you and around what God is doing. And God is going to get the honor, and he's going to be glorified. And when I say this, obviously, from the verses we've read, from what we know of Scripture, the greatest joy of all time is when someone gives their life to Christ. Because here is a soul that will now be in God's kingdom, will one day be in heaven. Seeing people come to Christ causes rejoicing more than any other thing. God wants you to serve him. He wants you to be willing to talk to others and encourage others to come. If this makes creation rejoice, if this makes heaven rejoice, if it is the thing that brings the most joy of all to God's heart and to creation, you and I get to play a part in it. Who in 2020 are you going to bring to accept Christ? This is a little bit of a challenge for 2020. Who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to bring so that rejoicing can begin in their family? Think about it for a minute. You know somebody who has a family who has nothing to do with God. They don't know the restoration and the joy that God can bring. Thank you so much for joining in with us today. Hey, if you'd like to know more about Abundant Life Worship Center and what we do here, you can check us out on our website at www.alwc.church. God bless.